Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his or her own town to register. So Joseph went also from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to all."
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born, King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh.
The story of an artist. But first, let us pray. Almighty and Holy One, in the words of Scripture, in the songs, in the music of praise, we come to your presence. And now, people gathered in, help us to hear anew, in reflection and word, the joy of the season and the gospel news, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. The artist came in from the outer darkness and the bitter cold, stepping into the studio and flipping on the light switch and stomping the feet to warm up, went over to the thermostat and turned it up just a little bit and proceeded to look around the studio. It was an artist's studio. There was little bits of half-finished projects all over the place. It was chaos. The artist arrived here this day not to get another project started that would never be finished, but with a deep desire to work on something that had come in inspiration and was going to be the centerpiece of the artist's life. And so he started moving around the shop, and in the studio, he scooped up bits and pieces of the chaotic material, and he carried them over to the workbench and sprawled them out there. And then with strong hands and muscles bunching, he began to shape some things he created large and others small. And when he had them laid out on the table, he lifted them up and scattered them about the studio. And he saw them spinning and said, "This is good." And the artist was inspired and went back and found more bits and pieces of things from the studio and scooped them up in his arms and carried them back and again sprawled them across the bench. And now, with inspiration moving quicker, he shaped things that were small with beautiful colors and laid them here and there around on the floor of the studio. And he found other bits and pieces, and he shaped things large and strong that reached up to the heavens. There in the rafters of the studio, you could see them heavy with fruit. And the artist looked around and smiled and said, "Pretty good." And then, reaching for more bits and pieces of remnants from the studio, the artist came and now began to work on even greater creation. And he made pieces that moved through the water like this, and other pieces that were shaped and moved through the air like this, and still other pieces that walked about the studio. And for the first time, the sound of life was heard. And the artist gathered it all in. "This is good." But over in the corner, there were final pieces of the old chaos, and the artist went and scooped it up, the last little bits, and laid it gently upon the table. It was time for the masterpiece. The artist stood and looked for a long time, and then with strong hands began to shape first the limbs of one figure and then the other, arms and legs. And now, filled with inspiration, the artist moved up to the heads and began to shape those and form them just so, and upon the faces created a gentleness and a fullness of love in both of the figures. And finally, the torso bringing all together. And he opened up a cavity in each of the torsos, and reaching for the last little bits of chaos, the artist shaped them and placed one inside of each. Hearts open and generous and loving. And the artist looked at the creation, wiped the sweat from his brow, and leaned in low and breathed. And then slowly, the chests of his masterpieces began to rise and recede, and the hearts began to beat. And then their eyes opened. The artist reached down and lifted them up. This creation out of the chaos of the clumps of the earth, this Adam and this Eve. And he rejoiced, for he had longed for all his life and existence for companionship, and now had it. And he turned to the creation, the masterpieces, and said, "All of this studio, everything that you see, it is yours to shape and to build upon, to add more beauty to. And I will be with you, and you will be with me. And we will live together in love." And the masterpieces began to move about the studio, checking it into their lives and feeling it into their very being. And the artist just looked and smiled. And each day, the artist would come in from the outer chaos into the room and see the studio and see what new handiwork had been added by the masterpieces. And each day, the artist just smiled more and more at what could be seen, until finally something else slipped into the room and slithered alongside the masterpieces and began to whisper in their ears about power and about want, and about life and knowledge. And soon the masterpieces reached out, took, and fell. That afternoon, in the cool of the day, the artist came back into the studio and immediately saw something was wrong. Where once there had been magnificent beauty, now creation was marred and the artwork was disfigured. Where once there had been light, now it was just small dots against a darkness so vast. Where once life was abundant and everywhere, there were places in the studio where it was lost and sterile, and the artist knew something had gone wrong, and he cried out, "Adam, Eve, and they did not answer. The artist searched throughout the studio until finally, in a corner, he found them huddled low, hiding themselves. And the artist saw guilt and shame for the first time. And for the first time, though not the last time, the artist cried. All the studio and all of its beauty now marred seemingly forever, and the artist simply stood back and watched as the artwork became more and more corrupt from age to age, and he watched as seemingly the pieces that were the very pinnacle, the masterpiece of the creation, suddenly turned love to anger, beauty to ugliness, peace to war. It was as if those wide, generous hearts were suddenly two sizes too small. Or as a poet years upon years later, who was a descendant of those masterpieces, once put it, "Every who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot. But the Grinch who lived just north of Whoville did not. The Grinch hated Christmas the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small." And the artist, seeing the woundedness of the masterpiece, the brokenness of the artwork, sat for long ages and waited till the fullness of time, and then did the only thing possible to heal and restore all of this art. The artist began to fold and shrink and encompass slowly, reducing until he was but a small baby, born in a small town on a silent night long ago, with a baby's cry. The artist entered the artwork. The creator became a part of creation. God became Emmanuel, God with us. So that our hearts might grow three times larger. Who needs Christmas, you ask? I and you. And so does Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.
Beloved of God, may you go into this silent night carrying with you the joy, peace, and light of Christ. Amen.